still to enjoy their journey. And we're set back many times because of that. What makes a difference for us is our focus. Let's look at two verses in the New Testament. Keep your mark here in Leviticus 25 and turn over to Philippians chapter 4. And the next book is Colossians. We'll look at chapter 3. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So keeping our mind thinking on the right things helps us to keep ourselves positive. In Colossians 3, Scripture says in verse 1 through 4, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So keeping our focus in the right place and thinking on the right things will help us to keep our life positive, and we can rejoice and enjoy the fact that we are saved, we have a home in heaven, that God is blessing us, and that we can bring our needs to him, and we can enjoy our journey with the Lord. Now, God taught Israel in Leviticus 25 to be stewards of the land. In chapter 25, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land, notice land, which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed. For it is a year of rest unto the land, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant and for thy maid and for thy hired servant and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. Now this word land is used 39 times in this chapter, referring to the land of Israel that God gave unto Israel to live. The land belongs to God. It is his. And he has given them the residency of it. He took it away from other nations. There were 10 nations, as we might say, squatters on God's land, the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and all of those different groups that Israel had war with. And God explained to Moses the Sabbath year they were to obey. They were to plant and gather and prune for 6 years, but the seventh year was a Sabbath, and no land work was to be done in that time period. They were to begin a count with their first year and work hard for 6 years and then rest for a whole year. Let the land rest. Verse 23 in chapter 25 says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession ye shall grant a redemption for the land. So God, the land belongs to God. Verse 38 says, I'm the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. So this was his plan in bringing them. He had told Abraham, I will look around. I'm going to give all this to you. But it was 430 years before Abraham's family began to take possession of it. They were all that time in Egypt. And then God said, the day's come, it's time. Moses, you go down and free my people. I want you to take them out of Egypt. So they were working in the land. The sixth year of their harvest, God promised to make it such a bountiful year it would produce enough for 3 years. And they were to lay it up in store so they could eat from that for 3 years and still have enough seed to plant again when the after the Sabbath year was over. They would be ready to plant and harvest, but it would take time from when they planted before they harvested. So they had a weight in there involved in that. Belongs to God, and they are his servants. Verse 55, he said, for unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So they were to serve him and obey him and do what he told them to do. And then he promised them, if they did, he would bless them greatly. Now, Israel always focused on the land, having a place, what God gave to them. The church today focuses on heaven. Our thoughts are heavenly, and theirs was earthly. And we look to the Lord to bless us and take care of us and answer our prayers and take us home to heaven one day and give us the glory of heaven that he has promised. Now, during the Sabbath year, they were to rest from the planting and the pruning. They were to depend upon God to supply. The animals got a rest. The people got a rest. There were still duties they would have to do and with their stock and all that sort of thing, but not to have to plow and plant large acreage and all of that was a pretty good rest. And then the people rested, the animals rested, and their servants got a break. Israel often had servants. They were a wealthy people in the land. You remember Abraham was a man of great wealth, and he had many servants. And his servants went with him when he went against Sodom and Gomorrah to get his nephew Lot back in freedom from the war they had been in. And so he had his own army. And so these got a break, and they would gather of the things that grew outside what they planted. They were not to plant or reap those things. The poor and the stranger must do the same, because the rule of the corners and the gleanings would not apply when they had not planted. If they planted regularly in the first 6 years, they were to leave the corners for strangers and the poor. And also, as they reaped their wheat and barley, they were to not glean it completely, strip every little bit. They would normally gather it, and you'd drop some on the ground, and they were to leave that for the poor and the widows and the stranger traveling who could get those things. And that rule would not apply because they were not plowing and planting, and so the stranger had to learn that also. Let's look at Deuteronomy 15. Keep your bookmark, we'll come back. Deuteronomy 15 and verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother thine hand shall release, save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord hath given thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. Thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates and in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be no thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and that I be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy work, and all that thou puttest forth, puttest thine hand unto. And so the aspect of being a cheerful giver was what God expected of Israel, and they were to be a blessing to the people of Israel, to one another. They are family. And they are to treat them differently than they would treat strangers from other nations. God gave them three motives to teach them to be generous. Number one, Leviticus 25:4, because of God's blessings to them. God has blessed them so they should be a blessing to others. Same thing is true in the Christian church. As saved people, God blesses us, and we should turn around and be a blessing to others. Number two, appreciation for God's deliverance from Egypt. God saved us and brought us out of our sins and our past and our hardships and freed us as he did them. And for that reason, we should turn around and remember strangers or those in need and be a help to them. Thirdly, out of simple obedience to God's commands, what God teaches in his word about how we are to be generous and how we are to care for the brethren of the house of God, that is an important thing to remember. In the seventh year Sabbath, the Feast of Tabernacles was the time that the priests would read and teach the law and explain all these things unto them. Look at Deuteronomy 31 and verse 9 through 13. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 9. Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests and the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. So for 7 years, there's this break of not having this sabbatical year. So when that seventh year came around, there would be children who have come up that do not know these laws, don't know these teachings, that the priests would teach them and help them to understand these things. In Leviticus 25:18 through 20, first let me say that it would require great faith on their part to trust God to supply great harvest for them in the sixth year so they would have enough to last, so they would not have to plant or prune their trees or anything like that in the sabbatical year as they gave the land rest. And Israel, by the way, we don't find anywhere in the scripture where they observed the Sabbath years. What we do find is because they failed to observe them for 490-something years, God put them in captivity to Babylon for 70 Sabbath years. And that's why they had to stay 70 years in captivity unto Babylon.
The sixth year would be a bountiful harvest that could last them, and they were to store it up. But Israel failed to obey these things. Let's look at a couple of verses. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 21. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 21. It says, when they are carried away to Babylon, where they were servants, the king would reign unto his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Then verse 21, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill the 70 years. So the 70 years Israel set without all the people while they were in Egypt, they were in Babylon, then for that 70 years it was like a great Sabbath celebration in the homeland for the land's sake, to rest, to not be used. Now, he mentions Jeremiah. If we look at Jeremiah 25 and verse 8 through 11, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all the nations round about, will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take of them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So God set this time, and it was for them to pay their due. In chapter 29, verse 10, Scripture said, thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. God expects all his people, the Old Testament Israel, the New Testament church, Christians today, to give back to him what he requires. The tithe is the Lord's. In Deuteronomy 8, the Bible says God gave Israel the ability to make money and to have wealth. In Deuteronomy 8, in verse 8, Deuteronomy 8, verse 8. I'll go to verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, when thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And it goes down to verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Now, the principle of that still holds true today with Christians, that God gives us the ability to make wealth. He expects us to be cheerful givers. He expects us to enjoy the blessings that he gives us, but then to bless others as well. We receive the mercy of the Lord, and so we should be merciful. We have future rewards coming in heaven where God is creating a place for us to live forever and forever, a place of beauty, a place of glory, a place where God lives. And those future things we have to look forward to should cause us to be satisfied and happy to obey the Lord and to give back to God. But it is a human nature thing to want to keep all we have and not to give it away. Now, they were to keep the Sabbath and the Sabbath years and every 50th year, the year of Jubilee, and they were to tithe their earnings. And if they did, God would supply their needs. He said in Malachi 3, if they bring the tithe to the storehouse, that he would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There wouldn't be room enough to receive. Every sixth year, he would bless them with an abundant harvest that would be enough in their storehouse for 3 years. But if a Jew fell on hard times, as Elimelech and the family of Naomi and Ruth down in Moab, then God could raise up a kinsman redeemer who could deliver them from their calamity they'd gotten themselves into. Now, you remember the story of the book of Ruth, how Elimelech went down to Moab to sojourn. He left Israel. He went to a nation that they were not to be, you know, friendly with, Moabites. They could not come into the temple of God to the 10th generation for their sins. And he went there and he had two sons, and the two sons married two Moabite women. There are other passages of Scripture that say the Moabite women were a lovely women, beautiful to look upon. And then Elimelech died, and the two boys died. It left three widows. And they lost the Lord's blessing somewhat in disobeying him and doing all these things. Well, you remember the story, just like Lorelai told Sunday night, the story of Ruth, how that it was her hap, the Bible says, happenstance, that she would go into a field to glean, and it just turned out that was a field that was owned by Boaz, who was a kinsman. We know that was not a happenstance. It was the providential hand of God. And he saw her work and knew how she had treated Naomi. And so he stepped forth to be the kinsman redeemer. There was another kinsman who he had to go to and arrange first. If he would not do it, then he said he would. And the other man said he would mar his inheritance, so he would not do it. So Boaz stepped forth as the kinsman redeemer. Now, the kinsman redeemer had to meet some qualifications. Number one, he had to be a kinsman according to the flesh. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer who died for us and paid the price of our sin and bought us out of the calamity we were in because of Adam's sin. He took on flesh to be our kinsman redeemer. Boaz had to be willing, and he was willing to pay the price to buy the land that belonged to Elimelech's son, Ruth's husband, and to marry Ruth and to raise up a child in the name of his deceased father, who he would receive the inheritance of that family. And as being the oldest son, he would be the family priest and receive a double inheritance. Secondly, he had to be able to redeem. If he was broke and couldn't afford to redeem him, he was not able, but Boaz was a wealthy man, and he was able to redeem them. Only Jesus is able to redeem mankind. He's the only one free from sin and who had the power to redeem us. And then thirdly, he had to be free from the calamity. Boaz had nothing to do with Elimelech coming down there, being broke, sojourning in the land, his death. And Jesus was completely free from the sin problem that we were in. And so he could redeem us as Boaz redeemed Ruth and Naomi and married Ruth. Christ took on flesh to be our kinsman redeemer. He laid down his life willingly for us. And he was the only one without sin who could pay the price for our redemption. If God's people would not give back to God what they should, then they would pay it in other ways. It's like the one passage in Malachi 3 where it says it would be like putting money in a bag with a hole in it. You'll lose the money. It'll get away from you. You'll have injuries. You'll have expenses that you wouldn't have had if you take God's money and use it for yourself and other things. And so we know people have doctors and loss of work and things wear out, have damaged their automobiles and their homes and all that sort of thing, where if they were giving to God what they should, they probably would not have had the amount of those kind of things that cost them. Now, for Israel, over time, the land was affected by them not observing the Sabbaths. They failed to trust God for the rest for that year. They failed to be generous in sharing and freeing the servants. The servants who served, who were Jews, to other wealthier Jews for the 6 years, the seventh year, they were to be freed. Just like in the 50th year, in the year of Jubilee. But if they were Gentiles who worked for them, they did not have to free them. The land would produce much, but without a rest, it would not produce as much. There is a time for crop rotation and letting places sit and fertilizing and all that. It makes a difference in how much it produces. Secondly, we'll come to something that we'll take up next week. Fold this up and put it in your Bible. Bring it back with you next week, and we'll talk about the year of Jubilee. Every 50th year, they were to count seven Sabbaths. Seven Sabbath years. Every seventh year. And do that seven times. That'd be 49 years. The 50th year would be the year of Jubilee. And we'll talk about Jesus ushering in the Jubilee and see our connection with that. Thank you all for being here tonight. Hope you get home safe. And I hope you can get through the water into your house and all that. My wife took a picture of our backyard where it goes to the trees. Our land drops off from the house to the trees. And there was two ducks swimming in the water back there where it was backed up from the house, you know, like a pond. So I hope you're okay as you go home. Let's pray. Father, thank you for everybody being here tonight. Thank you for the Master Club and the workers there. Thank you for the teen program and Brother Jacob and the workers with them. We ask that you'd use the church to help your people to grow in the faith and to learn about you, and help us to be found obedient and generous and cheerful givers and willing to help those who are God's people. And then, Lord, help us to care about the lost and do what we can to be a testimony to them so they would be saved. And we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Diane will play through a verse. If you need someone to counsel with you, pray with you. If you come, we'll help you. Prayer, will you?